Well, welcome. Would you believe it? I know this is pretty crazy, but we're in a series to do with Christmas. Can you believe it? December. If you walk into most churches across the globe, you're probably in some sort of series on Christmas. And so we're looking at four different main words this Christmas season: hope, love, joy, and peace. And one of the things we talked about when it comes to Christmas is often we see a certain aspect of Christmas, but there's so much under the surface that we don't see. And if you think of it like an iceberg, as you'll see here, there is a certain amount above the surface and a certain amount below the surface. And often what we see when it comes to Christmas is we see debt. How am I going to buy all those presents? We see full parking lots. We see greed and consumerism often. We see tension at our family gatherings. And it's like, awesome, this is what I see, but I want to get to what I can't see, which is this true meaning of Christmas that so often is kind of hidden. And this is your hope, your joy, your love, your peace. And so we're in this beautiful series, and I get the privilege of speaking on peace. Oh, so good. So if you've got your outlines today, just grab them and turn with me if you'd like. And just turn them over. And you can start to make a paper airplane out of them if you'd like. You're welcome to turn them into a snowflake. Because the reality is today you're not really going to need these outlines all that much. I'll refer to a couple of verses on there, but other than that, they're basically useless. And you might ask the question, well, why on earth, Pastor Andrew, would you go to all the effort of writing down all these thoughts, having them printed out, and then not preaching on them? Well, would you believe it? I'm preaching on peace, and I had no peace for my message on peace. And so I wrestled for days. Ran into the house this morning. I said, Joyce, that's my wife. I'm like, I've got it. She's like, took you long enough. And literally this week, I have a deadline on Friday at 10 o'clock. I have to get my outline in. So I submitted a nice, packaged, palatable, beige sermon. And the reality is I could preach my prepared message and you would all go, mm-hmm, oh yeah, mm-hmm. And then on your way out, you'd shake my hand, you'd say, nice sermon, Pastor. And you'd go on with your week and it would be a nice, palatable week. But I couldn't bring myself to preach my prepared message because I just didn't have peace. And correct me if I'm wrong, there is nothing worse than not having peace. I mean, we just spend so much time and so much energy and so much effort trying to get peace as a people, do we not? Oh, we're like, we will go on retreats, we will buy cars we don't need, we will buy houses we can't even fill, we will get faces that we can't even sustain, we will go out and we will do anything and everything we can to try and get some peace. If I can just look like that, wear that, live in that, drive that. If the kids would just sit at the dinner table for Christmas and not talk about that thing that we as a family don't talk about, then maybe we could have some peace. But you know what? Peace is one of those elusive things for many. Is it not? Where we spend time and energy and effort trying to find peace, and yet so few truly find it. Peace. I'm not talking about superficial peace. I mean, I was in a meeting with a couple of guys from my neighborhood. I just met them for the first time yesterday, and they picked up that I was not from around here. And so they said to me, oh, so you like to travel? We don't like traveling. we don't go overseas because people in other countries hate each other too much. And I was like, bro, did you not see the viral videos of Americans beating each other up over 50-inch plasmas on Black Friday? Do you not see that all it takes is for one family member to vote a certain way and all of a sudden there's a war in the house? Do you not see the way that our peace can be so superficial? Irvine, the safest city in America, but is it the most peaceful, truly? Our 80% divorce rate, nearly 80% divorce rate, makes me wonder. There is a superficial peace, but that's not the kind of peace I think you and I want. That's not the kind of peace at Christmas time that I think you and I need. That's not the kind of peace that I'm after. That kind of peace that when you walk up to someone and they say, and you say, "Hi, how are you?" They say, "Good, thank you. And you?" That's not the kind of superficial peace I think you and I need. I think you and I want. We want a lasting, eternal, real, applicable, not going to run out, new every morning kind of a peace, do we not? Yeah, come on. Yes, we do. It is precious. It is needed. Turn with me to Psalm 133 as I jump into this fresh message, 5 p.m. last night. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. We're looking at Psalm 133, and this is a psalm of ascent. It's a psalm that the Jews would sing as they climbed up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was elevated. They would climb up to Jerusalem and they would sing this song as they went for their feasts, for their festivals up by the temple. They would sing how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. They kind of needed to sing that because there's a lot of people walking in one direction, kind of bumping into each other, all excited. It sounds like a bit like Christmas, you know? How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. And they say that harmony is as precious as anointing oil and as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon. Precious and refreshing. So how do we get this precious peace? How do we get this refreshing harmony that we so desire? And you know what's crazy? I don't know whether you call yourself a Christian or not today, but I think there's actually a few Christians in the room that go, speak to me, Pastor. So this is, trust me, like this week, I had some moments where I was like, I need peace, I need peace, I need peace. How do I get peace? How do I get peace? So let's go on a journey together because I think we need it. The first thing we need to do is we need to be aware of our need to die. To die to ourselves. I'm not talking about a literal death. I'm talking about a death to ourselves. You see, here when it talks about the oil, the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe, when it talks about the oil, it's talking about righteousness. It's talking about a death to self and a new life. Now, how can I say that? Let me explain. Aaron was the first priest for Israel. And the way, and I don't understand why God chooses oil. I'm like, why couldn't you choose like Coca-Cola? Well, it wasn't invented then, you know. Why couldn't you choose water? Why couldn't you choose sap? Why? I don't know why he chose oil, but he did, okay? The way that Aaron was prepared to be a priest, and to be a priest, he had to be holy because he had to enter into the Holy of Holies. He had to enter into the presence of God, and you don't, that's like, we only get to do that because we're made holy. And to be made holy, what would happen is Aaron would be was anointed with oil. We read Aaron was the first priest. He was Moses' assistant and brother. And we read that he was anointed with oil, and the oil made him holy. If you want to have a bit of fun, do what I did in preparing for this message and just read Aaron's story. Amazing. So he is anointed with oil and made holy. Now, why is that important? Why is it that these people are referencing peace and harmony being as precious as the anointing oil for Aaron? That's almost like me saying, harmony is as precious as your spectacles. It's like, well, they're good for you, but how are they good for me? Let me tell you how Aaron's oil was good for the people that are saying, that are saying this psalm. It was the oil that made them right too. Because Aaron was made a priest, which meant that they could bring their animals could be, by Aaron, could be killed, sacrificed, and would make them right. I don't want you to miss this. The reason they're referring to this precious oil is because that precious oil made them right. When they bought things, they were killed, they were put to death, and they were made right. And you and I, this is the crazy thing, you and I become priests when we become believers. Jesus is the great high priest, but he brings us into this fellowship of being priests as well. I don't want you to miss that this oil was it was the key to their calling. It was the key to their freedom. It was the key to their life, their new life. So the first thing, if you're taking notes on my very well polished, palatable message, it's not going to be, trust me, I'm getting there. The first thing I would say to this, say is this, if you want peace, if you want true peace, you have to die. There has to be a death. And I'm talking about a death to yourself and a death to your ways. Your material possessions don't cut it, they wear out and waste away. Your body also will fade. Your self-help books, your yoga classes, your niceties, your masks and facades don't bring true peace. Nothing from this earth will ever bring eternal, everlasting peace, because peace is not a fruit of this earth. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And you know what we do as Christians so often? Bought my coffee, you know, just in case. I have a coffee pot and a cup, okay? You know what we often do as Christians? Is we grab the resources, we grab our earthly resources, right? We go, need peace. And maybe we drink coffee. Drink coffee, get peace. Only lasts for a while, doesn't it? Go to the gym. Okay, buy the latest. Okay, well, that's running out as well. If I can control this, that's it, control. Control brings peace. Control. Be in control. And then we go, I'm out. And we search high and low on this earth for this remedy, for this peace, and yet we do not find it in the things of the earth. And so you know what we need to do, friends? We need to actually come and be filled. And so we have to get around an eternal source that can keep filling us up again and again and again. And you know what's cool about this? What's filling my cup? Comes from the source. And so what we fill ourselves with is where we're going to get what we drink. We're going to get what sustains us. We're going to get what we need. And if you want eternal peace, if you want peace that lasts, you need an eternal source. And so not only do you have to die to yourself, friends, and all your tips and all your tricks and all your techniques, we also then have to take on the life of Christ. We have to open the lid and let him pour his life into us. John 14, 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So many of us, we've gone, I'll say yes to Jesus and keep the rest. And it was so funny in the 9 o'clock service. Oh my. I thought we were going to have this great move of the Spirit. And people just looked at me like, how dare you tell me to die to myself? And some of you right now, you're going, not that addiction. Don't you, Holy Spirit, don't you bring that up. Not that body image issue. No, 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 no. Not, no, surely. Now I have a question for you. When somebody's dead, how dead are they? They're really dead, yeah? They're 100% dead, right? Do I have any doctors in the room? Yep, we got at least one. You would know that if you pronounce someone dead who is not yet dead, you will be in a lot of trouble. I mean, that you, people get sued on that kind of stuff, you know? And yet we say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And you can still hear an old heartbeat. I get that this isn't comfortable, but I know how amazing the new life can be. And so why would I rob you of the truth if it'll set you free? Some of us, we need to die to ourselves today. Get this, okay, this is going to, could get in trouble for this one, but I'm going to say it because I believe it. You ready? The sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. When Jesus called people into a relationship with him, how did he do it? He said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And don't get me wrong, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen. But think about the rich young ruler. Comes to Jesus, says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus doesn't say, say a sinner's prayer and move on with your rich young ruler lifestyle. He does this, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Doesn't even talk about a prayer at that point because the guy's not even ready for the lifestyle. If he can't lay down the old, he can't pick up the new. If I were to fill this coffee pot with water right now and keep pouring it into this cup, what would happen? All the coffee would leave and water would replace it. And some of us, we try and hang on to both. And my friends, it just doesn't work and you know it. And this is the thing, God loves you so much, that he's not going to replace your challenges with anything less than the best. Some of us, we're so hesitant to give up what we're hanging on to because we think that God is going to rip us off. If I hand over that addiction, well, what if he wants to give you peace? If I hand over that, what if he wants to give you peace? I believe he's a good God, a good father who gives great gifts to his children. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So once we've died, what do? We have to come to life, don't we? Like we don't want to, we need a new life. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you are taking notes, number one, die to yourself. Number two, rise up with Christ. And number three is this, be filled with the Spirit. So many of us, we go, all right, I got this whole Jesus thing and a sinner's prayer and okay, death to myself, all right, sweet, okay, let's go. And then it's like jumping in a car and going, all right, I got a steering wheel, I've got a key, I've got an accelerator, right, let's go. And there's no fuel in the car. And we're like, all right, why is Christianity not working for me? Because I never put fuel in the car. I never did what Jesus said and stopped and waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And we want the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, I have a couple of questions for you. What would the opposite of peace be? Chaos? War? Terror? Hatred? Turmoil? Pain? Anxiety? Whew! All right. What would the opposite of the Holy Spirit be? The opposite of the Holy Spirit would be darkness. Uh-huh. Being lost. Hopelessness. Powerlessness. Evil. The opposite of the Holy Spirit could very well be an evil spirit, could it not? It also could be our flesh, our sinful desires, sin. So here's my question, and try to track with me here. If chaos and fear and anxiety and worry and turmoil are the fruits in our lives, where are they coming from? Probably from sin, our flesh, maybe even evil spirits. Because they're definitely not coming from the Holy Spirit, because that tree doesn't produce that fruit. Now, if the fruit on your tree isn't right, let's say you planted an orange seed, and you're expecting oranges on your tree, but then it starts to bloom and you find yourself with lemons, what would you do? Would you prune the tree? Would you change the fertilizer? Would you, sprinkle a little bit of organic something on it and hope that maybe it's just... You'd take it out. You go, by George, I got myself a lemon tree. I'm after oranges. And you would pull that old tree out and you would replace it with a new one. Because whatever the seed is, whatever the source is, that's the fruit we're going to get. The reason you have to die to yourself is so that you can come alive in Christ and you can be filled with the Spirit. In this passage, it says that it's as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon. Now, you might ask the question, what the heck is Mount Hermon? One of the tallest mountains in the region near Jerusalem. And that mountain would be covered in snow. And so when everything else is dry and everything else is barren, if you lived in that region, you depended daily on the dew that would come from Mount Hermon to refresh you, to refill you, to make sure you had crops, to make sure you could live. Jesus didn't pray, give us this day our weekly bread, our monthly bread, our once-off bread. He prayed, give us this day our daily bread. And so day after day, the dew from Mount Hermon would fall and does fall in this region. And day after day, we need to be filled up with the Spirit. And the Bible says that he pours out his Spirit without measure. And so if you are finding that there are lemons on your tree, rip it out and say, Holy Spirit, I don't want that spirit. I don't want that thing that is seeking to lie, to kill, to destroy, to rob me. No. I want your peace. And then ask the Holy Spirit to come. So many of us, we want peace without the Spirit. Because, the Holy Spirit, he's kind of, unpredictable. You can't control the Holy Spirit. You don't know. I mean, the Holy Spirit might ask me to, heaven forbid, love my neighbor as myself. And that might mean I have to walk across the street and meet them. And I don't really like meeting people. And, Holy Spirit's kind of, Well, we want peace, but we don't want a Holy Spirit. That's like wanting oranges, but never wanting to have orange trees. The peace is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the shadow of the Spirit. If you want peace, you need the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe when you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit, okay? Just to be super clear. But I also believe that there is enough biblical evidence to suggest that there is an infilling of the Holy Spirit. There is a daily needing or an ability or opportunity to receive more. And I'll take it. Because one meal isn't going to do my life. I'm like, more God, more God, more God, more God. And he's so generous, he pours out his Spirit without measure. The band can come and join me. Now let me close with this and let me tell you this. If I haven't convinced you that you need peace daily, that you need the Holy Spirit, that you need to die to yourself, come alive in Christ and be filled with the Spirit in order to get peace. If I haven't convinced you that you won't be able to find peace in the world and you need to come to God, and maybe I've even convinced you, but you're not motivated because you're like, this is a great message for the person on my right, the person on my left. I'm not a world changer. Thank you very much. Let me remind you of how desperate the world is for the peace that you have. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. They desperately need to see the hope and the joy and the peace that you have, especially at Christmas. I want to read to you the lyrics of a song that is one of the most popular songs going around right now. People are singing it day after day after day, joining in on it. This song is so popular at the moment. It is right up there in the chart. Some of you may have heard it. It's not a Christian song. It's by a band called Imagine Dragons, and I want to read it to you because it is the cry of a world desperate for the peace that you and I either do possess or could possess. And in a moment, we're going to pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, I shouldn't say receive the Holy Spirit. Unless you're getting saved, you're going to get saved and get the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for people to have an infilling, to have an overflow of the Holy Spirit in just a moment. But before we do that, sometimes we go, well, why would I, who cares? I want to give you the why, because this is the world that you're going to walk out in that desperately needs his peace. These are the lyrics to this song. When the days are cold and the cards all fold and the saints we see are all made of gold, when your dreams all fail and the ones we hail are the worst of all and the bloods run stale, I want to hide the truth, I want to shelter you, but with the beast inside, there's nowhere we can hide. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom come, this is my kingdom come. When you feel my heat, look into my eyes. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. Don't get too close. It's dark inside. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. When the curtains call is the last of all. When the lights fade out, all the sinners crawl. So they dug your grave and the masquerade will come calling out at the mess you made. Don't want to let you down, but I am hell-bound. Though this is all for you, don't want to hide the truth. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom come. This is my kingdom come. When you feel my heat, look into my eyes. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. Don't get too close. It's dark inside. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. They say it's what you make. I say it's up to fate. It's woven in my soul. I need to let you go. And then hear this. Your eyes, they shine so bright. I want to save their light. I can't escape this now unless you show me how. When you feel my heat, look into my eyes. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. Don't get too close. It's dark inside. It's where my demons hide. It's where my demons hide. I want to read that verse again. Your eyes, they shine so bright. I want to save their light. I can't escape this now unless you show me how. My friends, there is a world out there that is desperate for us to step in and to show them how, to show them how to find peace, to show them how to find the things of the kingdom, the things of God that are going to sustain them and carry them through. And it is dark inside where they're at. And they need the freedom and they need the hope of Jesus. And this is the cool thing. Because of the oil, because of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus stepping into our world and saying, it's not too dark for me to come in and bring my light. You are not too far for me to save you. See, there's a difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper just, you know, keeps the peace. A peacemaker steps in where there is chaos, steps in where there is anxiety, steps in where there is terror, steps in where there is pain and division and hurt, and says, I am coming to bring peace. The Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, came in a manger, grew up, died, so we also could die to the things of sin and of this world. And then he rose up so that we also could rise up and live. And then he commissioned us and he sent us out. He said, go and make disciples. And guess what? I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my helper, the Holy Spirit. And some of us today are going to be so radically set free because we're looking at our tree and all we're seeing is lemons. And God is saying, ha, ha, ha. Check this out. I have new fruit for you. Peace. 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 Can we stand? Is Vanessa still here? Vanessa, our back producer, is she still here? If she is, come up. If you're on our team, if you're on the chapel team, sound and otherwise, I want to encourage you that God wants to move. He wants to speak to you and through you today. And that's for everyone here. Random picture that we had, and if this is you, just wave your hand at me because I'll be so intrigued. My friend Jesse was praying with me before and he saw high-top sneakers with gold on them, like gold-flecked high-top sneakers. So if you happen to be wearing those sneakers, please do wave at me because that would be amazing. We don't know, but I believe that God wants to do something radical in this space. He wants to give you peace so you can be a peacemaker. And so I want to read to you Ephesians 4. And then we're going to start praying for some people, okay? Ephesians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. So this is what's going to happen. If you would like prayer, and I believe many, many people today are saying, yes, that's me. It's a daily thing. Even this week, Tuesday, my wife gets prayer. By Thursday, our daughter drops to the, you know, falls out of her chair. She kicked off the table, blood everywhere. My wife's like, that piece of Tuesday kind of went out the window on Thursday. We need it. We need it. We need it. I know I need it. So if you're here today and you would say, yes, Holy Spirit, come. I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so I need the Holy Spirit to just pour out. Then I want to invite you right now, if you're after that peace, I want to invite you to slip out of your seats and just stand along the sides, and our prayer team's going to come around and pray for you. But like literally right now, if you're saying, yes, God, this is your moment to respond. We'll do the stations and all of that. But we're about to sing and we're about to pray. And slip out of your seat. People are slipping out all over the place. Keep going, keep going. Who's next? Who's saying, I need prayer? The prayer team is going to come along. Just form a line if you can. Just left and right. Slip out, slip out, slip out, slip out, slip out, slip out. You're going, no more lemons. I want oranges. No more anxiety. I'm not going to be anxious about anything. I'm going to present my request to God. Just slip out of your seats right now. We're going to move along. We're going to pray for you that the Holy Spirit would come, and the fruit of the Spirit would be what you experience. So we're about to sing some worship songs. So many people are already after prayer. We'll move along. So prayer team, this is what I want you to do. Listen up. We're going to partner up, and we're just going to move along. Pray, 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 pray. Spend as long as you have to, but no longer than you have to. Okay, so partner up. Ideally, a guy and a girl. And we'll move along. And then during this worship song, if you still want to slip out, you can. If you don't, that's fine. Because you know what you've got to do with God. During this worship song, if you want to use our stations, you can. They're available. Communion, a candle, confession. If you just want to worship God and just declare how good He is, you can do that as well. Can I pray for us? Lord God, I thank You so much for who You are. I thank You that You did not just leave us here. You sent the Comforter. You sent the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord God, that peace that surpasses all understanding would be our banner, that we would literally walk out of this space and people would be drawn to a peace that surpasses all understanding. And my friends facing surgery, my friends facing Christmas without a loved one, my friends facing challenges this week, would have people come up to them and say, how can you be at peace at this time? How can you be at peace right now? And they would lead people to You. They would say, because I know the Prince of Peace, and You will never find this peace anywhere else other than at the feet of Jesus. So Lord God, I anoint and appoint my missionary brothers and sisters today to go out and be peacemakers, agents of peace, to follow the example of the ultimate peacemaker, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come right now. Every person in this room would encounter You, would be radically changed. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship for a couple of songs, then I'll come up and close us. Feel free to get prayer. Thank You.